they believed that he was an older person because he'd been through a lot. And there's many of you been through a lot in life. You may not be old in years, but you're old in experience. You know what life can give. And with Job, you've said it's just a few days. It's full of trouble. We've had that. That's part and partial for our life. It's par for the course, as they say. We live in a fallen world. We're a fallen people, but we have a God that's exalted. And he wants to exalt every person here. He wants to save you. He wants to lift you up, and he will if you'll let him. So as we read together, would you read with me out loud, Psalms 23? So say it with me, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And everybody said, Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would have your way in this heart as we begin a series on this important chapter of this important book, the only book of life. God, we pray that you would touch every heart that is here. We come from different places, Father. We're different steps in our journey. Some of us are at the last of our journey, maybe. We're about to go home for eternity. My, how these words speak to us. Some, dear Father, are in the middle age, and they may have a few years, although none of us know. They may have a few years left. We pray that you'd bless them. And Father, may this word of God be powerful to them. And Father, to those who are young marrieds, Father, just beginning, children still home, and they're growing, and Father, all of the stuff that's got to be done, the ball games and everything else, let us not replace the Word of God with any of those things that don't matter. And God, we pray that you would touch those who are youth, those who are young adults, those, Father, who are even at children age, that God, you'd be with them. May they make a light unto their path, and as you said of our Word, and may the youth, Lord, you said that we can find our way, we can cleanse our way by taking heed thereto according to the Word of God. Help them to do that. Help this precious psalm become more strong to them as they learn more about it. Bless those who are saved. Lead them to you today. Touch those who, Father, are lost. And God, we pray that your conviction would fall. Father, they must know you, Jesus Christ, before they can ever go to heaven. And we'll thank you for it. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Now, this is one of the most powerful passages in Scripture. I believe it's one of the most read, most familiar passage of Scripture to all of us. It doesn't matter where you are. If you ask somebody, what is your favorite Scripture? Somewhere in the top five is Psalms 23. We can't get away from it. It's there. It's referred to as everybody's psalm, everybody's word. Now, we read it so much and we meditate upon it so much that it becomes old to us. But it should never become old to us. Every time that we hear the words, every time that we read them, 118 of them, it changes our life. It comforts us. It calms us. It does me. And how many have I seen and have you seen that's been comforted by the things of God? It's always encouraged people when they're in good times or when they're in desperate times. Now, the other day, just recently, we lost a loved one to heaven. We didn't lose them. We're going to see them again, but we say that. They outstripped us in life. What's your favorite chapter? And they said Psalms 23. And that's most of us here today. A lot of us will say top five at least. And some of you, one. Number one. This is one of my favorite texts. This thing has strengthened people. It has strengthened the soldier in battle. I've talked to some of them and I've asked them. I said, when you're out there, and I said, even the lost ones. I said, when you're out there, I said, did a scripture come to mind? They said Psalms 23. I said, did you learn to quote Psalms 23? They said, I did when I was in battle. And it comforts the soldier, the one that is in desperate need of some higher power to reach them, and they go to God. It encourages the guilty. Have you ever been guilty? Ever done something that has taken you back, and you wonder why that you did those things yourself? It comforts them. It provides help to them. It's helped the lonely stranger that longed for love, for companionship, for somebody. When God comes into their life, and we can read Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I like that. It comforts and giving calmness to so many living in a nation that is in deep sin today, that has forgotten the moral compass is no longer valid. The foundation that they started on has crumbled into non-existence. It's comfort you and I in our nation today when we read Psalms 23. Psalms 23 is something that is important to our lives. It gives the soul something that it longs for. See, all of us long for peace. All of us long for stability in our life. And David had learned that no matter how uncertain and how rough that his way was, that God was his shepherd. And God had blessed him and strengthened him. And you'll learn that too as you go on through life. I never will forget, several years ago, I was counseling a man. He was very anxious. I mean, he was just was shaking, and he had taken a lot of prescriptions. He had went to the doctor a lot of different places. He had gotten several thousand dollars in debt trying all this stuff that's out there. Now, medicine used the right way is okay. It's always okay. Use the right way as God would have you to, but it had not helped him at all. And he came to me, and he was a good Christian that I pastored, and I talked to him, and I said, listen, you're still struggling. He said, yeah. He said, I can't sleep at night. He said, I'm going to die. He said, I can't get any comfort tonight. And I said, what can you do? And I said, well, the only thing I can tell you to do is go to the Word. And I told him, I said, I've prayed about this, and I said, I feel that you need to start reading Psalms 23. And he said, well, I know the Psalms. He said, I can quote some of it. And I said, you need to quote it all. And I said, you need to start reading Psalms 23, and I want you to read it at least 7 or 8 times a day. And I said, I want you to start when you first get up of a morning, or better yet, I said, before you get out of bed, get your Bible, open it up, and I want you to read it. And then I want you to read it at break, and I want you to read it at lunch. And I said, I carry it with you, the ones that you memorized. I said, say those verses to yourself. And I said, let God speak to you. He began to do that, and I had a meeting with him the very next Sunday. And after church, we met, and he wasn't shaking anymore after 1 week. And I said, is everything good? He said, well, he said, it's pretty good. He said, I still have times. But he said, you know, when you read the Word, it changes you. And Psalms 23 will change you more than most of the Word. And as I dealt with him, he became to where it was okay. He laid aside all the pills. He didn't go to the doctor anymore. He went to Dr. Jesus. And some of you today need to do that. You need to go to the Lord and allow him to soothe you and to make you. And the best thing that you can do is start reading these verses and putting them to heart. He is my shepherd. So it's good that he's yours. I hope he is, but he's mine. I know he's mine. And that is what David is saying here. Listen, this psalm is filled with truths that you and I can live by. When we apply them to our lives, when we allow them to soak into us, and we understand who we are and who he is and what life has to give us and what he can give us, then there's no other choice in what we do. Psalms 23 is for those who need help, and we all need help. Now, here when we think, read Psalms 23, I love it. We think about this in two ways. The Psalms here is a victory Psalms. It's a Psalms of victory. David knew what it was to be down and out. He knew what it was to be forsaken. He knew what it was to be hated, to be searched for, to kill. He knew what it was to stand alone and be lonely. But here when he penned these words, he'd been through all of this. And he understood that only through God was peace available and was peace possible. And he understood what God was doing. And this is a victory song here for him. Because he had trusted in his God. He had trusted in him as Savior, but he was also his shepherd. There's many Christians that they don't have a shepherd. They're Christians. They know God maybe. But they don't have a shepherd. And beloved, there's something different in that. And the Bible is talking about that here. David is writing this to him. Notice what the first two words are. I love it. Say them with me. The Lord. I like that. My goodness. See, David is writing this Psalms to help us build our relationship to God. He is our Lord, the Bible says. And that is what we need to understand. See, David talked about green pastures here, but the theme is not rest. He talked about and described death's dark valley, but his theme is not about final hours of death. In these verses, the last verse mentions living in the house of the Lord forever, but the theme is not heaven. The theme is the Lord. It's about all that David wrote about. Psalms 23 is not about all this other stuff. It's about the first two words. Say them with me. The Lord. See, that is all it's about. All of these things are said about Him. And we need to understand that all of life without the Lord is useless and empty and impossible, because God created us in His image to love Him, to know Him, to walk after Him. And boy, there is no greater thought and no greater life than that, to be able to know God and to know the things of God. See, the Bible says here that it explains and exalts one thing, the Lord. It's not about a person, a process, or anything like that that's in this life. It's about Him, the Lord, above. It's about Him. And all of life is about Him. All the Bible is about Him. Now, this Psalms is not only just a Psalms of victory, but it's a Psalms in the valley. It's a valley psalm. David knew how it was in the valley. But this Psalms, which is a valley Psalms, is placed between two mountain Psalms. Psalms 22 goes right along with it. See, if you read Psalms 22, you're going to read more clearly in it than you do in the Gospels about the death of Christ, the cross. See, Psalms 22 is about the cross. It's a mountain peak. Psalms 24 is about the crown. You'll see Him in His glory when you read Psalms 24, but between those two mountains is Psalms 23. He doesn't write about the cross here. He doesn't write about the crown here. He writes about the care of the Lord. God cares for you. May I say it even stronger? God loves you. God loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. It amazed me when I finally realized several years ago in my life that God loved me no matter who I was or what I had done or what I would do. He loved me the same. His love doesn't change. I had a Christian this week. I was talking to him, and he had messed up some things. A young preacher, actually. He had messed up in some things, and I was trying to counsel with him, and he said, Rudy, the things that I've done, God doesn't love me. I said, oh, yeah, He loves you just as much as He ever did. God loves you. For God so loved the world. It said, for a good man or a righteous man, some would die, but God gave His love to us in that while we were sinners, He died for us. But that's awesome to me, that God loves me just the way I am. You see these ladies, they'll stand in front of the mirrors and all of that, and they put on all of this stuff, and you look at them, you don't even know who they are if you saw them without it. I see some of these movie stars, sometimes they'll come on, and I think it's kind of funny to look at. They'll show them with makeup and without. Wow. I wouldn't have known you. Now, every old barn, they say, needs a little paint on it, and you understand the connection, but you can have too much. But why even do it at all? God made us just as we are, didn't He? And I like that. The Bible says here that God speaks to us in these things. I don't know where that other come from, but you take it and you just use it. Amen. The Bible talks about here. It talks about the glory in chapter 24. It talks about in chapter 22 the grace. Chapter 23 is the guidance of the Lord. I'm thankful for the grace. The grace of God that sent His Son, Jesus, to the cross for your sin and my sin. God giving us what we don't deserve. I'm thankful for the grace. But right now, too, I'm thankful for the guidance of the Lord. See, I'm thankful that every step of my path is ordered by the Lord, that God has a will for my life, a purpose for me being born, for living. See, people that know the Lord, they have no purpose. They don't know why they're here. They just live and they die. They may accumulate some degrees. They may accumulate a little few CDs. I don't know. They may accumulate a little bit. Then they die. They have nothing eternal. Nothing. And they're of all men, when they realize that, most miserable, the Bible says, because they only have hope of this world only. But oh my, the child of God, through the guidance of the Lord, we've got the glory of the Lord in Psalms 24. We've got the goodness of God that comes to us and the crown that'll be given in that day and that time. So it's important to understand what God is talking to us here for. See, Psalms 23 speaks of the comfort of the Lord, the care of the Lord, the consolation of the Lord. He sends that to us. It talks about that. Now understand something. In order to get from the one mountain, the cross, to the other mountain, the glory, or the crown, you got to go through the valley. You're going through the valley right now. This is the only hell that the saved world will ever know. This is the worst it gets for you and I, because we know Jesus Christ. That's why 23 was written, to tell us about that. In the valley, you can smell the rose of Sharon. In the valley, you can smell the lily of the valley. In the valley, you'll be changed. It may not be always sweet here, but God's always with us here. And He provides the guidance. He provides the glory. He provides the sweetness of life. You need to read Psalms 23. You need to learn to memorize Psalms 23. You need to put it to heart. If you're young, you say, well, Brother Rudy, I don't need it yet. You will need it. I promise you, you will need it. And it'll bring you comfort. It'll bring you help. Notice what it says here. It provides stability. It provides a foundation for us. It says, I shall not lack for rest or provision. Why? Because He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not lack for peace. Why? Because He leadeth me beside the still waters. You ever had turmoil in your life and all of a sudden the peace of the Lord? Yeah. That is what David went through time and time again. And that is what the child of God goes through time and time again. I should not lack for restoration or for encouragement. Why? Because He restoreth my soul. He not only lifts my body up, my frame up, but He restores my soul. That's what David said, restoring to me the joy of my salvation, God. It's too often life takes joy out. Sin takes joy out. But God brings it in, doesn't He? Here the Bible says that we should not lack for guidance or for fellowship. Why? Because He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I'm glad He guides me. Have you been guided to the Lord? Has God led you in ways that you didn't know? There's times that God had told me to do things that I would not have done on my own self. But after I'd done them, I said, God, thank you for that. There's times and steps that we take that we don't know why we're taking them. We don't know why we have to go through them. But if you're a child of God, God's ordering that. We don't mumble nor complain. We trust Him. David said, I trust you. I shall not lack for courage when my way is dark. Why? Because the word says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I shall not lack for companionship. For the Bible says to you and to me that thou art with me. Can you say those five words? For thou art with me. No matter where you are in life, church, no matter where you are as a person, God's with you. God's with you. You need to say that in your life. Older people, I know how you, sometimes I meet with older people and they say, Brother Rudy, I don't know why I'm still here. I don't know what I'm contributing. You're contributing a lot. Can everybody say amen? Amen. As you get older and the wisdom that you have and the prayers that you can pray, because you know this God in heaven, you know that He's with you. He's got to work for you. He's guiding you even then, and He's with you even then. I think of, if I may, Brother Dale. Brother Dale excites me. Amen. I mean, if anybody at 107 years old can get up and sing for God, I can do it too. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And enjoy it and give everything He's got for it. My goodness. And I tell you, I enjoyed the choir singing today. I enjoyed it. You guys done good. Can you give yourself a hand? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now, some of you are clapping that didn't sing, okay? You need to sing next time. But, oh, my goodness. I love that. To finish well. To be strong in the Lord and to trust Him. Oh my goodness, I envy those that maybe are a little older than me. There's not many anymore. Don't amen that. There's not many anymore. But oh my, I envy you because God's soon coming. He's soon coming. We look at that as a bad thing. Is that a bad thing? When we went through the valley, we're fixing to go to the mountain again. We're fixing to receive the crown again, fixing to see God. We're fixing to have glory around us. And that is what David is talking about. He's talking about the glory of the Lord. He said here, I shall not lack for power. And I like the word, I shall not lack for power, the power to heal, the power to help, the power to be a hospital to somebody and to ourselves. Why? Because he anointeth us with oil. My goodness. He anointeth our lives with oil. And the Bible talks in the Old Testament Psalms about Aaron being anointed with oil and it going down even to the very tips of his beard and running off. And my goodness, when we talk about that and the joy of the Lord, I hope you're enjoying your journey. I hope you're enjoying the way that we go and the things that we see and the things that we feel as children of God. Don't begrudge what God's given you. Enjoy it. I shall not lack for abundance. Why? Because my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Used to know a little lady. I can't think of her name right now. Saying my cup runneth over. What's her name, Donna? Miss Anna, thank you. She's my mind most of the time. Miss Anna would stand up here. She'd have to sit in a chair because she couldn't stand. But she would sing. And she would sing, my cup runneth over. And her tears would just flow every time she'd sing it. I remember Mama went with me to visit one time. And she was riding with me. And I said, Mom, I'm going to leave you with Miss Anna. Well, Mom was kind of, she didn't, you know, she loved to talk with people. But she going to a house she'd never been to. And me leaving. And I said, I'm going to have to leave and you stay with her. Well, her and Mom went in and she said, I don't know if I want to do this or not. She said, are you hurrying back? I said, yes, Mama. I said, I'll hurry back. I've got one visit to make. I need to make by myself. And I said, she said, I'll just sit in the car. I said, no, you go in and see Miss Anna. And she said, okay. Well, I went in and introduced them to them. And Miss Anna, she just welcomed her in. I was gone more than I thought. I was gone an hour and a half and at least. And I went back and I knocked on the door. And Miss Anna came to the door. And she said, well, come in, come in. And there was Mom. Mom had drank some Coke, I think she had, or something, as water or something. And she was just sitting there. And I said, Mom, you ready? She said, no. She said, you got anywhere else to visit? And she come out after I finally got her to go. And she said, are you ever coming up here again? She said, can you bring me by Miss Anna's again? They enjoyed each other. Because Miss Anna just kept running over. There's people in here, in this building here today, I wish I could call your name, but you're just running over and you affect everybody you're around. I'm going to call one person's name. Sister, I appreciate you, Miss Ruth. You just run over, and you keep running over because my platter needs it sometimes. But there's others of you that you just run over. You love the Lord. No matter what life sends you, you love the Lord. And that is where David had God in his life. And that's where we need to be in our life. It doesn't matter how old you are. Let your cup runneth over. You've got reason to. You've got ability to. Because God is in you. He's your shepherd. He's just not your savior. He's more than that. He's your shepherd. And David realized that. He realized what God had done to him. Actually, I shall not lack for a sanctuary because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, the child of God, we need to understand that our steps are ordered by the Lord, that we have a guide that is ahead of us. Our needs are supplied. My goodness, I can't tell you the times that we didn't have money to pay bills, but God provided it. I remember going and taking the car to get it fixed, and I told Donna, we don't have any money, and it was $186 was how much it was. And they fixed it, and I went back, and I told Donna, I said, I'm going to have to write a bad check. We got to have the car. I didn't have the money. And I remember going in and him looking at me and I said, how much do I owe you? I had my checkbook out and I was going to tell him to hold the check if he could. And I started to write it out and he said, it's already been paid. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's already been paid. He said, somebody come in here in a small town, Pikeville, small town. And I was looking at Ralph and Ralph looked at me and he said, a guy come in here, I don't know who he was, that he paid the bill. I said, really? We need to understand that the provision's there. God's our provider. The providence of God is on every heart that knows him. He loves you. Look to your neighbor and say, God loves you. You know why we can't talk about one another? Because they're talking about God's child. Can't say nothing bad about nobody. Because God kind of gets offended at that. He doesn't like that. Because God loves them just like he loves you. David here, he had insight to what a shepherd does. Now, I say a shepherd, we need to understand that. I'm not talking about knowing him as Savior. Now, that's the first step. You got to do that to go to heaven. There's some people that, buddy, they're good on the outside, but they don't have no relationship. They don't spend time in the Bible. They don't spend time with God. They don't have these times of solitude with him that they find out who God is. And God finds out who they are and they let him know. They don't have that. See, the shepherd, it says of the shepherd that the sheep follow the shepherd. The sheep hear what the shepherd says and does it. See, a lot of you have a Savior, but you don't have a shepherd. There's too many Christians that are playing with God and they're unfaithful to most things that have to do with eternity. They don't know God. They don't have a shepherd. See, David had a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't believe he just read that cursedly or just... as an afterthought, I believe he said, the Lord is mine. He's my shepherd. David knew it. Do you know it? See, that is what God is talking about here. David knew what a shepherd was. Before the prophet came and placed the anointing oil on him, and it ran down onto his cloaks and into the ground. David was out on the hillsides tending his sheep. Providing for them, taking care of them, loving them. One person said that a true shepherd, will smell like the sheep. And Jesus did. And David did. Because he spent time with the sheep. And David knew what it was to love them. And he knew what it was to talk about a shepherd. To talk and to teach what the shepherd is saying. And the shepherd's job was to keep the sheep at peace, to provide for them, to guide them. And I ask you tonight, or today, is he your shepherd? I mean, yes, you may have given your heart to him somewhere, but is he your shepherd today? You have a relationship with God. And that's what he wants. And that's what Psalms 23 is all about. The Lord. The Lord. David here claimed him to be two things. Number one, he said, the Lord is a shepherd. The word shepherd just simply means to tend the flock. A pastor, a shepherd, to tend the flock. To smell like the flock, to become acquainted with the flock. That's what Jesus was, and that's what David knew that Jesus was. My goodness. The Bible says that in the Word of God that Jesus is compared to three things for a shepherd. He's the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. He's the great shepherd that's coming again for his sheep. And as a child of God, we need to understand what God is saying. I want to go to a verse like that. John 10, look at it if you would. I'll do it quickly. In John 10, verse 14. We need to read these verses. I was going to skip over them, but we need to read them. In John 10, chapter 14, he said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The Jewish people, when he would say to them that I am a shepherd, they knew exactly what he was talking about. He was talking about the Messiah. He was talking about Jesus saying, I'm God. And we know he was God. And that's why they said to him he was blaspheming, because they knew that he was comparing himself to God. And I'm glad that he is. We need to understand that this God died for our sins, and that's why he's the good shepherd to you and I. The nails did not hold him to the cross. Our redemption held him to the cross. The love that he had for you and I and the payment for our sin held him to the cross. He knew there was no other way that you and I might be able to enter heaven. The good shepherd. But then the Bible calls him also the great shepherd in Hebrews 13. You don't have to turn there, but it says Hebrews 13, 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, thou great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. You remember what Paul did in Romans chapter 8? He reminded us that Jesus Christ right now is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. Why can He do that? Because He died for us. The Bible said He became sin for us who knew no sin. Paul said that we might become the righteousness of God through Him. See, God died as the good shepherd, giving His life willingly, voluntarily for the sheep. But He's the great shepherd because He changes the sheep's life. That He makes intercession for us on our journey to God. Are you allowing God to do that in your life, church? Are you allowing it to do it in your life, dad, mom? Be the great shepherd. But the Bible also says He's the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. One of these days, God's coming back. Can you say praise the living God? Brother Roger, I'm looking for that time. I can't wait to see Him. I've read about Him. I've preached about Him. I've thought about Him. I've meditated on Him. I've prayed to Him. And one day I'll see Him. And I'll say, my Lord and my God. You know, and the greatness of the Lord and what He's done for us. He's coming again. Do you know you're ready to meet Him? Are you able to say He's my Savior, but He's my shepherd too? And I'm following Him, walking with Him. He knows my voice. I know His voice. And I'm following Him. And I love that. I love what God has done for us. He's called the chief shepherd, and I love that. Because He's the good shepherd, we've been saved from the penalty of sin. Did you know that? Because He's the great shepherd, we've been saved from the power of sin. It has no hold on us. I had people say, well, Brother Rudy, I have to sin. No, you don't. No, you don't. You may. We all, I think, do. I had somebody, well, I've told you, I think I've told you, may have not told you, my uncle, and I won't call their name. Some of them may be here listening, but I had an uncle and aunt that they told us, never fussed. Been together for 60 years. Brother Bud knows them well. They're passed away now. They said, we've never fussed. That's a lie. Mom and Dad, when they said that, we left, and Mama said to my dad, I never will forget it, said, have they never fussed, R.A.? And Daddy looked over, and he laughed, and he said, yes, you know they have. He said, it'll come out. Now, they did get along well. I mean, she was one of the girls that, after she got married, even up for 30, 40, 50 years, she never scooted over. May I get an amen for that? Yeah, some of you women, amen, but you scooted over. My wife, after about 6 months, she scooted over, and I said, honey, I said, come back over here. And she looked at me, she said, it's hard there. It wasn't when we was going to church and stuff like that. I said, you sit close to me. She said, well, I'm going to sit over here. I said, well, you're the one scooted over. I didn't. About 2 weeks later, we went to eat with them after Sunday service. Now, I was a teenager, young guy. And went in, and boy, they was talking to back and forth to themselves. And got kind of heated. She was wanting to fix this for dinner, and he said, I want this. No. No, we had that last week. Let's have it. No. She went inside the kitchen muttering. Daddy looked over at Mom, and we were sitting there, and he said, told you. We've all failed. We look out and we think, well, boy, I'm not like them. Thank God I'm not like them. We're like the Pharisaical hypocrite. When we need to bow our heads like the one in the back and they said, Father, be merciful to me, the sinner. And we've done nothing good. You have no right to judge anybody. The Bible said, judge not that you be not judged, because you're going to be judged with the same judgment you give. And it's Him going to be judging. And I'm closing today. But think about what we have. Thank God that we do fail. 1 John chapter 1 said we do. We sin. But thank God the power of it's been broken. I'm thankful not only the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Thank God it says that we shall be saved from the presence of sin. One day I won't be bothered. I get so upset with me. sometimes. Things we do, things we say we shouldn't. Things that go through our mind when, and even I wake up sometimes having a dream and I think, where in the world did that come from? Father, forgive me. We're still in this life. The Bible says one day we shall be saved in Revelation. We should be taken out of this place. See, do you know him as Savior and also as shepherd? Is he your shepherd? See, too often we get saved and we do our own life and we expect him to follow us. But it comes to a point that we realize that one day that we need to be following him. My sheep follow me and I'm their shepherd. My goodness. Life begins with the good shepherd. Life continues with the great shepherd. And life ends with the chief shepherd. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Today, as you stand, Ethan, would you get a song? You need a shepherd today. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you know him? And that you hear his voice? And that he hears yours? Do you have a need today that God needs to come in and touch your life? See, the thought here is the Lord is. We're not finished with the sermon. There's two or three more points to this sermon. But we need to stop here. The Lord is. It's the same meaning when he says, Moses, tell them I am sent you. Father, we ask that you would come into our lives here today greater than you ever have, that, Father, you'd bless every heart. Too often we go back to a time that somewhere we gave our heart to you and there's been no evidence since then that you made a change, a supernatural change in our life. And maybe if it was, it's kind of wore off. And dear God, we're just waiting our time, bidding our time, doing nothing. You didn't mean for us to be that way at all. We're on the journey here. We're in the valley. We're, Father, making you our shepherd now. We pray, God, that you would touch every heart that is here. That does God know their voice? Do they even speak to him? Do they read his word? Do they attend his church that he commanded us to attend? Where's their lives? Are you their shepherd? As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, do you know for sure that when he comes, you're going because you can? Can you go back to the time that God forgave you, God changed you, and it has affected you ever since? How many can say by the word of God, he's my shepherd? My shepherd. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. We're going to sing just a verse or two of song. If you have a need tonight, today, would you come? There'll be others come with you. They'll pray with you. We'll pray together. As Ethan sings, let him speak to you this morning. Is there a need today? Need to get closer? Need to lay aside something? Need some help? Would you come? Is there one? The Lord is my shepherd. Thank God that he is. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Ye who are weary, come home. Sorrowfully laden, Jesus is calling. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Can everybody say praise the Lord? God is so good. Go away today rejoicing. Yes. Absolutely. Come on, sister. Go away today rejoicing in what God has done for you. all that would like to join us in prayer. Some of you may not be aware of what this is, but you can read it in James, the last part of the book of James, verse 13 and following. It says, let them call for the elders of the church, and it's literal, let them anoint them with oil, not that the oil would, but that the prayer of the faithful shall save the sick, and he which, if they've done anything wrong, that God will forgive them, God will save them. Read that. It's a literal undertaking. The early church did that. We do that. So we take the Bible literally. I know you believe in the healing of the Lord, sister.